Ladies and gentlemen, it's Super Bowl week.
Super Bowl week.
Is this the third Super Bowl that we've done a podcast for?
I think it might be the third, because I think the first year we didn't do a Super Bowl podcast. Because remember, we officially launched in February. So we're coming up on our anniversary too, guys.
3 years. Who would have thought that? Anyway, what had happened was, I thought that I was going to have a very traumatic experience last week. I know I'm not the only one. Obviously, you know, wisdom teeth are a huge part of growing up as a human, apparently.
Yes.
And no lie, I've always had like a fear of the dentist.
Which is so strange.
Which is why I honestly haven't been that many times. I ain't gonna lie, like a lot of my fear of the dentist stem from like movies. Specifically, Little Shop of Horrors. I don't know if you've seen that movie.
What?
No, Little Shop of Horrors had Steve Martin play like that mean dentist in Little Shop of Horrors, and that was like one of my favorite movies growing up. And it,
I mean, why is one of your favorite movies something that scares you from something that is you really need to go do? Because not taking care of your teeth will mess up your health on so many levels.
Look, I know that now, and I took care of it.
Well, partially took care of it.
Partially took care of it, yeah. So, I had a very bad toothache last week, and I knew that I need to schedule to get my wisdom teeth taken out, but I just, you know, out of sight, out of mind, until pretty much my mouth was like, all right, since you don't want to take care of it right now, I'm going to make you do it, so...
I mean, that's what wisdom teeth do. That's why even if they're like mine were came in normally, but because of like where they are in your mouth, it makes it hard to brush them and keep them clean. So they end up getting all sorts of junk in them. Even if you're doing what you're supposed to do, they still get a bunch of junk in them.
Anyway, long story short, the dentist pretty much gave me two options. Nitrous oxide, laughing gas, or put me completely under. I was like, look, this pain that I'm feeling right now can't be nearly as bad as what they're going to have to do to take these teeth out. So I'm going to suck it up and just stay awake and take the laughing gas. And sure enough, the process took all of like 5 minutes. They had to take out two teeth and I didn't feel any pain whatsoever.
Now, mind you, I told him that it's not nearly as serious as he thought it would be. But he didn't listen to me.
I consulted with many of friends. Even my wife told me I was a wuss and I need to suck it up because she was in military and she had to get her wisdom teeth taken out during boot camp before she went to it wasn't a dentist that did it and she didn't like get put under. So she really had to suck it up.
I mean, I got my bottom two just pulled, like straight pulled, and it hurt, but it only hurt for like a minute, and then it was fine. I got, I guess, laughing gas, Novocaine, whatever I got for my second, for my upper two.
Needless to say, I'm no longer afraid of dentists anymore. So, you know, I didn't expect to check that box off on the bingo card, but alas, here we are.
Well, he still has three more to get done, so guys, we're going to monitor the progress of smiling his wisdom teeth.
That's true. Shout out to my dentist. Holla back. My dentist actually, like, sang Motown to me while he was taking my teeth out.
I'm just going to guess I know, the race of your dentist.
You're going to be incorrect. You're going to be incorrect.
I'm going to be incorrect. Oh, that's even better.
He was not black.
Wow.
He was Middle Eastern, maybe-ish? Okay. I'm just basing off his name. I'm not trying to, you know, stereotype. We thought that since this pandemic started that we wouldn't have any more issues of fans behaving badly because there's not that many fans. But alas, we have another episode of fans behaving badly. It revolves around your boy that's really not your boy, but...
That should have been my rant for this episode. All these people that I'm going to my favorite teams and coming with championship possibilities that make me just be like, ugh. But anyways, yes, LeBron James and the fight on the court side. Not really fight.
Apparently, like this fan, they were playing in Atlanta. The chick, just based on what she put on her Instagram page, because she went on IG Live and was talking mad trash about what happened. But she said that her husband doesn't really like LeBron James. So he had been, you know, mouthing off for the most part the entire game. I think LeBron interacting with him told him to shut the hell up or some variation of that. She got offended. She was like, you don't talk to my man like that. And I guess she called or she used the B word in reference to LeBron.
She called a man that is 6'7"
yeah,
the B word. I feel like, never mind. I don't even have words for that.
So he responded and then it escalated. And I think people were more worried about the fact that she was doing this without a mask on. And she was sitting basically courtside.
Right.
Which is a whole nother.
And it's Georgia.
Yeah.
It's Georgia. Like states like Florida and Georgia.
You got to go on her Instagram page. I guess she's like only like 25 and the dude like he was older. So he could have been a sugar daddy. Yeah.
It's definitely like a trophy wife situation. Like 100% a trophy wife. I mean, they could have a million things in common. Absolutely. But like her career as an influencer and she like looks like an influencer. I'm not trying to be like obnoxious. I am certain that this has gotten her lots of new followers too. Like the name of the game. But she also apparently it is literally a rule in NBA arenas these days that you cannot take your mask down. So taking your mask down and talking to a player at that end, the biggest player in the entire league, this is setting yourself up to get kicked out of a game. Like there's literally no way that she could argue anything. Like
obviously, we've talked about this plenty of times. We've had multiple podcasts about this. Like, why do fans feel like athletes, you know, just because they're there for entertainment, get paid lots of money, that they have to just sit there and take you berating them?
Well, you know, this week, Chrissy Teigen, who has been through all sorts of craziness this year, she posted about how, like, a waiter...
Oh, yeah.
Swindled
her into a $13,000 bottle of wine.
Exactly. But fans like lost their minds. And she said it best. She's like, look, my life is not going to be relatable to your life because it's my life. Like she didn't even go into the fact that like I'm rich and all these things, like, but there are going to be lots of parts of, I mean, my life isn't always relatable to Smiley's life. And that could be just because like I've been married for 7 years and I've got two kids and I live in a different city and blah, blah, blah. Like, I mean, our lives are not always as relatable as it seems. And there's this idea that, you know, because what these athletes do is play a game, that like somehow that diminishes them in some way, or somebody's smarter or tell them what to do or whatever. And then people are like, hey.
I don't think they're going to let her back in an Atlanta game anytime soon.
Which, yeah. What's funny is I think her husband's like a huge like Hawks fan, which is, I mean, being a huge Hawks fan within itself is impressive. But yeah, but it's funny because everybody seems to miss why she was kicked out. Like she wasn't kicked out because of what she said or the interaction. She was literally kicked out because she took off her mask. And, you know, leagues and people who are hosting events and things like that, you got to enforce that stuff right now, because if you don't, people will run rampant, and then your event will become a super spread.
Speaking of the NBA, apparently they announced that they're still planning on doing their All-Star game, which, yeah,
is weird. Well, I mean, I guess it's really not, because they can do...
I mean, would it just be a reinvention of the playoff bubble? I mean, because what? They're going to be basically bringing players from a bunch of different places to one place. A few of the players are like, this is stupid. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, yes. And I think, fortunately, it's the All-Star Games so people can opt out. Personally, I don't know. I'm still of the opinion that the NBA needs to jump the line and get vaccines. Like, and I'm not even saying it from like the perspective of like, we are having such issues with rollout. It's really not that many vaccines that the NBA players need. And also, you could easily chalk it up to, like, Senate leaders need the vaccine. Like, they don't need it. They got it because they are trying to instill faith in the public. I personally think that you could make the exact same argument for the NBA. And I'm saying the NBA because I think their players are the most relatable. Not relatable, but they're most... Like, nobody knows what baseball players look like or, you know, NFL players that aren't whatever. And their season's almost over. So they'll probably get vaccinated before their season starts anyway. And nobody cares about hockey. I'm just trying to be honest here. At least not from the perspective of, like, hey, we follow what they're doing. They set culture type of way. Like, just let them get the vaccine, put a video camera on, have them do it live, you know, and call it a day. Like, that's my opinion. This foolishness just feels like it's foolish. If you don't,
I'm not opposed to them doing what the NFL did for the Pro Bowl, which was get, like, a bunch of gamers, like, players and celebrities that play 2K and have, like, a, you know, play, like, an online all-star game, because that... Oh boy, that was entertaining. And yes.
It was?
Look, you put Snoop Dogg, Marshawn Lynch, Keyshawn Johnson, you put all of them in a room, unfiltered, so to speak. And yeah, it was very entertaining. Marshawn Lynch was playing for the NFC. Basically, well, TJ Hawkinson plays for the Lions, made the Pro Bowl. He's a white guy that plays tight end. Marshawn Lynch referred to him as that. Who's that snow bunny tight end that's on the team?
Wow. Who's that snow bunny tight end?
And Bubba Wallace, who apparently they thought couldn't play, basically ran up, like, scored like 3 touchdowns on Keyshawn Johnson, and the rest of the team was pissed. Jamal Adams ran 1 play 5 straight times and scored a touchdown. It to the same guy 5 straight times. It was hilarious. Marshawn Lynch thought that we were playing, that his team was playing against a bot. It was entertaining. And thank goodness this was not on regular television. Thank goodness this was on Twitch, because if it was on regular television, you wouldn't have been able to hear what anybody was saying, because a lot of it would have been edited out.
I'm all for doing something cool and different, but let's be really, really honest. They want those broadcast dollars. That's what this is about. So last time the Bucks were in the Super Bowl, I was stupid excited. I wore my Keyshawn Johnson jersey because despite what Smiley and our friends thought, my college boyfriend looked like Keyshawn Johnson. They thought he looked like somebody else. There's some character, but they were incorrect. So I had my Keyshawn Johnson jersey on. I was like stupid excited. I was completely like on like pins and needles. You know, this is my freshman year of college, you know, all the things. And was stupid excited when they won. Like stupid excited. Fast forward, I am grudgingly rooting for my favorite team.
Why? Because 2 of your favorite players of all time are on their team.
And 2 of my least favorite players. See, okay, there are a few players that I despise. Tom Brady is one of them. This comes from also being a Colts fan and living that life for so long. In those days, it was Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. You loved one, you hated the other. Like, it really wasn't a thing where you loved them both, you know? Even though they were, like, great friends. Like, I have a really good friend who lives in Indy, and she was so distraught to find out that Tom Brady and Peyton Manning were really friends this entire time. Now, that didn't surprise me, but they definitely kept their friendship under wraps during the biggest points of things. And definitely not a fan of Antonio Brown. And all of these people are on my favorite team. And that combined with LeBron James going to the Lakers and Phillip Rivers going to the Colts this year, I don't dislike that many players. But they all just seem to congregate on my favorite team. Like, this would be like Danny Werfel coming to coach the Seminoles. Like, what? No.
Well, how do you think I feel with Urban Cryer?
I mean, yeah, we, you know, that's your love in this, but So Smiley can feel a little bit of my pain, but I don't think it'll stop him from rooting for the Jaguars.
Yeah. I mean, it'll stop me from actively participating.
No, it won't.
Yes, it will. Leave me alone. Yes, it will. So, I remember we did a podcast, was it last year? It was last year. We talked about passing the torch. You know, we're thinking Brady is going to pass the torch to Mahomes. And here we are a year later. And Tom Brady said, bump that torch passing business. I'm going back to the Super Bowl.
But here's the thing. I think the torch has been passed. Because I don't think it's really an argument of whether or not Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes are on equal footings as quarterbacks, right? Like, I don't even think that it's not quite as bad as when Peyton won with the Broncos. It's not quite that bad. But Brady don't look like Brady anymore. Like, he just went to a really strong team. And, I mean, when you have Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, and Gronk, and you're throwing the ball to them, like, it's like playing catch. Like, you're not really going to be, you know, whatever. And also, like, the Bucs have had a really good defense. And so I think that that's really what's carried this team. And while Tom Brady has definitely thrown a lot of interceptions and made a lot of mistakes this year, he didn't do a lot of that in critical times, which I think that's kind of like that experience level. And that thing that, like, Jameis couldn't necessarily do. But also, let's be really honest, there are still more weapons on this team than there were. Like, just Mike Evans was, like, what Jameis had. And, like, I don't know what they did to, like, fix their offensive line, but their offensive lines never looked as good as it looked under Brady. Like, Jameis never had that good of a line. And they also have, like, a semblance of a running game. So, Brady, the Bucs are not there because of Brady. It's not quite they're there in spite of him, but they're definitely not there because of him. So, and I think that that's the difference between the Chiefs and the Bucks, is that Patrick Mahomes really is that dude.
I mean, you saying the Bucks aren't in the Super Bowl, like, only because of Tom Brady? I mean,
but he hasn't been great a lot of the season. He hasn't been. I mean, he threw 3 interceptions in the NFC Championship game. Like, he hasn't been amazing.
I mean, they were a wild card team. They were 10-6, but I mean.
Yeah, so like he's not. So basically what I'm saying is it's not because of Brady. I didn't say that Brady isn't the right person to be there right now, but it isn't because of him. Versus like, so what I'm saying is that it's not like regardless of the outcome, the torch has already been passed. Like, Patrick Mahomes is the now. He is the face of the NFL. Tom Brady is not. Tom Brady may be able to win this game. I don't know. I don't think so, but I don't know. But the torch has been passed. Patrick Mahomes is the future. Tom Brady will retire sooner rather than later. Like, he's not going to play for, I mean, he's what, 43?
The man say he can play until he's 45.
So that means he's got 2 seasons left.
Well, he only signed a 2-year deal with Tampa Bay, but if he wants to extend beyond that.
I mean, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, 45, I mean, at some point his wife's going to look at him and be like, sir. She'll look at her watch and be like.
You know, the Chiefs are turning into a dynasty.
Well, maybe. We'll see. We'll see how this turns out. Because one thing I will say is that I don't count Tom Brady out from the perspective of him playing against a team like a Super Bowl championship. Now, he's definitely lost his share, but I don't count him out in terms of whatever.
Do you know if Tom Brady wins, he will have more Super Bowls than any franchise?
I believe, yes. Yes, I do know that. And that's disturbing. But
like, this man is going to play a Super Bowl in 3 separate decades.
I mean, it sounds like Smiley is definitely all about him.
I'm really not. I wasn't really a Tom Brady fan. I respected his ability and that comeback against the Falcons. Kind of made me like, all right, this man's he's the greatest. I just think I'm in awe of what he's doing at this age is ridiculous. How this man is the starting quarterback on the Super Bowl in three separate decades. Like, who does that?
But I think that being a quarterback, especially the type of quarterback that he is probably one of the easier positions to actually, like, have a really, really long career. Because ultimately, as long as your arm strength doesn't, like, fall off a cliff, which his is kind of doing, but, like, as long as your arm strength doesn't fall off a cliff, most of what you need to be, you don't have to be super athletic. It's really more so about, like, sharpness and brain power. And, like, the reality is that our brains don't slow down in our 40s, like, at all. So that, like, you don't see, you know, cognitive decline until people are typically, like, in their, like, 50s, early 60s. And even then, maybe not. So it makes sense why he can't, because so much of being a quarterback is, like, being able to process information quickly. Like, so, and as long as the ball can get there, we're good.
His arm didn't decline like Drew Brees.
Correct. Or like Peyton Manning at the end.
So what? You thinking, I mean, I guess we should give a prediction.
I mean, I don't know if I have a prediction. I mean, I think that Patrick Mahomes has some of the same magic that Brady has, especially like after last year and playing against the 49ers and coming back and all of that. I think there's still some of that same magic. So I would not be willing to root against. I kind of think that the Chiefs are going to win. Like, that's kind of where I'm at. I'd probably like to see the Bucks win. And we'll talk more about, like, why that is, like, in the next segment. But I think that the Chiefs are going
to
win.
The Bucks definitely have the linebackers to not allow Travis Kelce to go bonkers. Tyreek Hill is still a cheetah. And I don't think Tampa Bay's secondary definitely won't.
I don't really have a read. I just don't necessarily. I just think that overall the Chiefs are like where that's at. And I think that the Bucks are a little bit of like the 2004 Lakers, where it's like everybody in America that's old is on the team. And can they actually like close the deal? I don't know. Like,
I mean, the only person on the team as old is Brady.
Well, but I mean, like, it may be like not old per se, but like, you know, Gronk was retired, guys. Like, and then AB is insane. Like, so I feel like it's a little bit of that, like, they're really coming here to chase a ring type of scenario. And then, you know, the question is, can they close the deal? And I'm not sure if they can close the deal.
Us here at Sports is the Life also like to talk about the Super Bowl off the field. And 10 years ago, Courtney was in that world.
Yeah, 10 years ago. So today, actually. So we're taping this on February 4th. We'll see what day we actually put this out. But it's exactly 10 years from when I worked Super Bowl 45 in North Texas. We actually have an all-staff Zoom call to commemorate later this evening. So that's going to be really interesting and fun. But
are you going to tell them to listen to the podcast?
Probably not. I'm not going to lie. I mean, maybe. I don't know. Who knows? I haven't talked to a lot of these people since the Super Bowl. So it's just really interesting to see each other. It's also like totally like a COVID thing, because I feel like if COVID wasn't happening, there still would have been a reunion, but like people like me and a couple of my friends that live in like a lot of different places, because there's a core of people that are still in Dallas, but a lot of people are not anymore. And so I feel like the core people would have gotten together and everybody else would have not been able to participate. So like that's one like kind of good thing about COVID, I guess, that you now remember that like you can do things with like people that are in from like that are from different places. Like we remember that that's possible. You know what I mean?
That was also the first Super Bowl of the generic Super Bowl logo.
And the thing is that like it fit the generic logo fit North Texas like in such a great way, because like it was like the brand new stadium that was very sleek, and like that design worked really well for kind of what Cowboys Stadium, AT&T Stadium, whatever it's called these days, looks.
Because the generic logos, like the logo for this year's Super Bowl and last year's Super Bowl, look just about the exact same because of the Roman numerals. because last year was LIV, and it looked like the Super Bowl trophy or the Lombardi trophy was in the place of the I. This year is just in the middle of the L and the V, which looks almost exactly the same. But yeah. Please bring back personalized or custom Super Bowl logos. Please.
They're not.
Goodell.
They're not going to. I just don't see that happening anytime soon. I don't know why.
Boo.
I mean, it's probably, if you think about it, like, it's gotten, the Super Bowl mark. I also think the mark gets used in so many different ways. They've really tried to, build equity into that mark in a way that they did not in the city ones. And I think also the city ones, typically you only really saw that on game day and in the city that it's being hosted by. Nowadays you see that mark on a lot of sponsored stuff, a lot of stuff league partners. They have specific Super Bowl partners, all of that kind of stuff. So
women are going to be doing big thing in the Super Bowl this year. Sarah Thomas is going to be the first female referee. Or, I'm sorry, the first female official. Yes, because you know me. I'm all about the women having a space in men's, in a man's world. Because, I don't know, maybe I'm just in the minority of men being so macho that they feel like women can't succeed in a male-dominated arena.
It's
ridiculous.
I mean, Smiley has definitely always been an advocate for women in sports, women in kind of all of these spaces. I mean, he's the one that's a WNBA fan.
I guess they changed the name of her position because it used to be called the linesman. But since she's a woman, I guess they didn't want to call it linesman if she's a woman. So now it's the down judge. Don't look. I'm just just call it the linesman. It's not the... Whatever.
Is that a permanent change?
I believe it is.
And did they change all positions that also had man in them?
That's the only one.
Okay. Well, maybe that's fine.
Yeah. It was referee, now down judge, then field judge, line judge, side judge, back judge.
I mean, it actually makes more sense. So I actually kind of get that.
Also... The Bucks, shout out to Bruce Arians, who's always...
always ahead of the game in terms of diversity hires. And not diversity hires for the sake of diversity hires, but really, looking for those coaches and those people that are overlooked. He had a great quote talking about how one of the reasons why he, kind of looks for people that are overlooked is because he was overlooked for so long in his career. If you guys think about it, he couldn't get a head coaching job until Chuck Pagano... got sick with cancer, and he did so great with the Colts. I remember being can't we just keep Arians? I was I know it's taboo to fire the guy who just survived cancer, but can't we figure out a way to do that? Because Arians was such a he was so great with the Colts, and it was just he's trying to have the coach that you want. I mean, granted, that gave him his first opportunity. That's why Arizona hired him, but. He was overlooked for so long that he kind of goes out of his way to look for potential coaches that are overlooked. And he has two women on his staff.
Yeah. Lori Locust, who's a defensive line assistant. And I hope I don't butcher her name. Moral Javadafar, who's the assistant strength and conditioning coach. I watched a story on her that they did. I think they did a story on her last year. She's a beast, and she knows her stuff, and she keeps those guys in tip-top shape.
Several years ago, I met Jen Walters, the first coach he hired, the first woman coach that he hired. I met her, and she's great. But this is not something he just started doing. He was a pioneer in it. And in addition to having two female coaches, he also has an entire staff of Black folks. Including both his offensive and defensive coordinators, one of which has a Jacksonville connection because he was Brian Leftwich, who was a quarterback in those parts for a time.
Good old Byron. I miss Byron. He was a very goofy quarterback. He didn't run well, but, he was kind of one of those, being the quarterback of a small market team fit him just fine.
Okay.
But, yeah, Byron Leftwich is, the one... coordinating offense for Tampa Bay, and Let's see, who's the defense coordinator? Who, Raheem Morris?
No.
Oh, no, Todd Bowles. Yes. Sorry, Todd Bowles.
Raheem, been there, done that. Remember, Raheem Morris was the defensive coordinator for the Bucks for like 2 weeks and no playing time, and then became head coach. That was such a, oh my God. After John Gruden.
I don't know why Raheem Morris popped into my head. I think it's because the Jaguars had interviewed him to be our defensive coordinator this past offseason.
Yep. He's had to like kind of like after that debacle with the Bucks, he had to like remake his way up the ladder in terms of like go back to the bottom and start all over again. But that just seems to be how things work for black coaches in the NFL.
And then, you know, on the other side of the coin, Andy Reid is, he's not a stranger himself to giving minorities opportunities. Back when he was coaching the Eagles, he was the first one to give Mike Vick the opportunity to come back to NFL. Let's not forget that. But his offensive coordinator should have been our head coach, our Jacksonville Jaguars new head coach, but, you know, I'm not crying over spilt milk or anything, but whatever. But yeah, so Eric Bieniemy, who, I'm not just upset that he's not the Jacksonville Jaguars new head coach, but the fact that he doesn't have a job at all, just the fact that he's not going to be a head coach at all after the season is over, it just doesn't make any sense. But, you know, let him shine on the brightest stage and let everybody else watch and see what they could have had.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be, you know, obviously there's, you know, Byron Leftwich, and Todd Bowles has been a head coach. The question is whether or not he's going to get that second head coaching job that a lot of his counterparts would get. So that's going to be the question there. So we're just really going to see, like, a lot of minority talent on the sidelines. And will that be enough for owners to take notice in the next cycle instead of hiring these weird people who, like, that Detroit. I don't know who or what the Detroit Lions try to hire. Like, it just seems like they hired Jim Caldwell, and then they just, like, came up with nonsense the next two times. Like, I don't get that.
Dan Campbell was the coach of the Dolphins like a couple years ago, and obviously the Dolphins weren't that good then. So I guess he finagled his way into another position.
Exactly. So we're going to see if Todd Bowles can do the same.
The new Eagles coach, I don't even know who that dude is.
Nobody knows who that dude is. Also, it seems like everybody's looking for like a really young coach, which I mean, maybe because of Sean McVay and Shanahan. But both of those guys were like coaches' kids. So like, yeah, they're really young and whatever, but like they were coaches' kids. Like they were coaches' kids, like NFL coaches' kids. Like they grew up in this stuff. Like not everybody did. And I just feel like everybody's trying to find that right now. And it's just kind of like, eh.
But the end result of this discussion is clearly, once again, we did a podcast about basically how the Rooney Rule was continuing to increasingly be a load of crap.
Well, I think that this is one of those things that's like very specific. So the Rooney Rule, it shows that the league and Roger Goodell care about this issue, right? But the people who execute it are the owners. And I don't really think the owners think that anybody can tell them what to do. Which the reality is that nobody can, because at the end of the day, as annoying as Goodell is, the owners are who he works for, and the owners beat to their own drum, and they're like a different level of people and are more aligned with like Jeff Bezos than even the president of their team.
But what happened to, I thought they were supposed to, like, if teams didn't interview a minority candidate, they were going to get penalized now.
I don't know the answer to that, but they always just hire, they always just interview somebody random, even if they've already, like, put everything in.
I'm pretty sure no, Shah Khan didn't talk to any minorities before he hired Urban Meyer, because they have been talking since before the season was over.
Well, I think he probably did do at some point the interview, though, whether he was supposed to or not. Or what, like, he did the, hey, we'll bring you in just because we have to interview.
But let this Super Bowl be the last image of seeing all these minority coaches in the same spot. Please.
What do you mean, let it be the last image? Oh, you mean like, well, no, I want to see not these specific ones, but I want to see new ones. Like, it can't end here. We have all these coaches that are now at the top of their game. Like, they need to go become head coaches, and then the next crop needs to be promoted. Like, we need the pipeline. So we cannot hear there's always going to be an excuse, but let's put the pipeline excuse to bed. I think that's where I'm at.
Because of Byron Leftwich is the reason that I'm going to root for the Bucks to win the Super Bowl.
And because of Bruce Arians and how he hires is why I'm going to root for them, even though they are my favorite team. But I feel like I need extra motivation.
Not because of Tom Brady.
Not because of Tom Brady.
If you would have told me that I would never be able to play a new college football video game ever again, like 5-6 years ago, I would have been sad about it, but I've been like, all right, fine, whatever. But there is a God, and the proof that there is a God is that EA Sports has announced that they are reviving the college football video game franchise.
This fool just said, the proof that there is a God is about an NCAA football video game. I want you guys to all hear that out loud because it's foolish. And this is from the person who worked for said company and worked on stuff for said game, but still looking at him like he's crazy.
So you should know how I feel about this then.
I mean, I know everybody feels about it, but I don't think that it's proof that there's a God.
Let me just have it. Let me just have my moment. You thought online gaming was popular with Madden and 2K and Fortnite and all this stuff? If they bring back Dynasty Mode for this college football, or EA Sports college football, yeah.
Well, I think they're going to do everything that they can to keep players' likenesses out of the game. So if they have to bring back Dynasty Mode to allow it to be really focused on the players or the teams, they're going to do it.
Obviously, or I guess they're in talks with, you know, they're going to get the licensing for the schools and mascots and stadiums and whatnot. Who knows what might happen by the time this game comes out, because I guess it's still a year or two down the road. As far as, like, what's going to be the relationship between, like, what's going to happen with the ruling that the NCAA is going to let players benefit off their likeness. Is there going to be some type of agreement with all the they don't have a union, but
right. Cause like the EA works with the NFL Players Association to get all the likenesses and stuff like that for the NFL players that are part of it. So it's gotta be something similar to that. I'm just not certain what that will be.
It's just going to be weird seeing or trying to play, for example, Florida State, playing for Florida State next year, and the quarterback is like some black dude that wears number 19, knowing that Mackenzie Milton is.
Yeah.
Is going to be the quarterback of Florida State next year, I would assume. If that's the case, they're going to have to find a way to keep like those mad scientists that basically stay up 37 hours a day just to edit all the players and put their real names and upload the roster?
They're going to have to find a way to just stop the uploading of the rosters. And I don't know what that looks like. I don't know, you know, on the new consoles, if there's more opportunity for that.
I honestly don't know if they're going to be able to do that.
They might just block it out so that people can't do it on PS5, or they can't do it. Like, I would assume they have some way, because like I said, I've never heard of anybody editing any other game other than, I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of just left a back door open for that, and that they won't do it this time.
Hopefully I'll be good and healthy. I mean, it doesn't speed up the necessity for me to find a PS5, but it makes that a priority coming soon. But yeah. So on another note, I'm now a quasi professional golfer.
What the heck does that mean? I feel like I didn't know. I just looked at the outline and saw this on here, and I don't have any idea what he's talking about.
So I joined the Golf Week Amateur Tour, which is basically like a little thing where different areas of the country have their own little mini tours, and you play like 1 or 2 day tournaments at different courses, and you play against people in the same skill level as you. So that's my turning pro. I played in my first tournament this past Monday. I went down, drove down to Ocala. I played at this course called Golden Ocala, which has a bunch of holes that are replica holes of like famous holes at like major courses. So they had a replica. They had three holes that were replicas of holes at Augusta National, including two in Amen Corner. They had a replica of a hole or two holes at St. Andrews, which is a home of golf. They had a few other courses that had like famous holes. So that was the main reason why I wanted to go play in that tournament. And it's private, so it's not like you can just drive down there and play. Like, it was pretty cool. I didn't finish last.
That's good.
Yeah, out of 20 golfers, I finished eighth, tied for eighth. It gives me a little bit of confidence. Like, I haven't been really playing very good golf lately. A couple of those problems still crept up, and I haven't played, and because of that, I haven't played much lately. So, you know, I enjoy myself. I'm sure we'll keep my listeners, you know, abreast of my future tournaments and see if I can win a trophy by myself.
Yes, we're going to wait with bated breath to hear how Smiley does in his non-pro, semi-pro tournaments.
Last but not least, before we hang up, we talked about, you know, the women that'll be a part of the Super Bowl. Well, also this past week, some black girl magic came through. Wrestler by the name of Bianca Belair, who's kind of been like this, you know, this growing star the last couple years. WWE has like been hyping her up. She's a beast. She refers to herself as the EST of WWE, the baddest, the strongest, the quickest. But she won the Royal Rumble this past weekend. So because she won the Royal Rumble, she gets to challenge for the championship at WrestleMania. And that's going to be dope just for the simple reason that, like, you know, we did a podcast a couple years ago about WrestleMania and the possibility of Kofi Kingston winning the championship and him being like the first pure African-American to win the WWE's top championship. Well, she is basically putting on notice for black girls, basically going to be one of WWE's top stars here in the very near future. And the fact that she might be wrestling another black female wrestler at WrestleMania, because Sasha Banks has the title right now. So it's like going to be full on black girl magic at WrestleMania. So I wanted to give Bianca a shout out. I got to see her live like last year. I should have made a sign saying I was Bianca's number one fan, but
oh God.
As long as Ronda Rousey's not involved in WrestleMania this time around.
You don't like Ronda Rousey anymore, do you?
I really do not. That turned 180 quick.
I mean, I feel like Ronda Rousey hasn't really found her way since
she got unceremoniously knocked out twice.
Yeah. I think some people in the world, like, you lose your thing and then you just kind of don't know how to recover from that.
But on that note, everybody enjoy the Super Bowl this weekend. Safely, of course.
Yes, please don't have everybody at your house. And if you do, please all of you wear masks inside your house.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks. I never thought that'd be painful to say.
If they win, I'm getting Courtney a Super Bowl Tom Brady t-shirt.
I'll take a Super Bowl t-shirt, but I won't take a Tom Brady one. So might as well just keep it and, like, move on, because I'm not going to wear it.